Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to find the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here's your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus. This is actually the New Year's Eve show. I'm recording it 3 days late because I've been ill for about 4 days now. But I am feeling better, but my voice is kind of coming and going. So if I lose my voice during this, y'all bear with me, okay? And I apologize if the show is late. I worry a lot when I'm not feeling well about not getting the show done on time or not receiving words. But, you know, those of us who put these things out, we're human too, and things do strike our body. And of course, the enemy does send attacks against us. And I did not fight hard enough, apparently, to fight this one off, although I started fighting it immediately when I sensed it. Anyway, this show is going to be basically a prophetic show about 2016, but I'm also going to share with you something that I asked the Lord about, that he's sharing with me about end time stuff. If the show gets too long, it will go to two parts. So I was asking the Lord a few weeks ago. I said, Lord, I heard somewhere or read somewhere that you can know the end of a thing by looking at the beginning. I said, is that true? And then I found a scripture. It's Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And so I said, Lord, if this is true, then there should be things about the end times in Genesis. So I went back to the very beginning of the Bible and I started studying Genesis 1, 2, and 3, looking for clues to the end times, and the Lord began showing me some stuff. Y'all have heard me talk about on the shows before that Satan tries to copy everything that God does. Satan is vastly, vastly jealous of God, and he wants what God has for himself. So he tries to copy everything. He also tries to destroy the work of God's hands. And as I studied Genesis 1, 2, and 3, I saw that every single thing that God created, Satan has attacked and is attacking. So God created all the stuff in the world before he created mankind. And he did that because he's a loving God and he wanted us to have everything we need. In Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And then verse 27, so God created man in his image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay, so we got our image from God. We got our sexual identity and our maleness and our femaleness from God. And, of course, he breathed life into Adam. He created Adam from dust, created Eve from Adam. He breathed life into Adam. Okay. And then, of course, Jesus came later and gave us the opportunity to accept eternal life through salvation by believing in him. Okay, let's start with God created the animals, and then he created man. Did you know that there are projects going on around the world now where they are taking the DNA of humans and animals and putting it together? And they are creating things that God never intended to be created. I'm very concerned that as the end approaches, that those things will be loosed upon the earth. So in that way already, you can see where Satan is attacking what God has created and distorted it. Miley Cyrus announced recently that she is pansexual. And somebody told me that, and I said, what is pansexual? apparently, and I looked it up on the internet, pansexual is basically not being limited in your sexual attractions. Not being limited to a male being attracted to a female and vice versa, but being attracted to whoever. I think it probably also includes being attracted to whatever. Those of you who have not ever been involved in the occult as I have, or probably never heard of the god Pan. The god Pan is basically Satan. And I'll just say that and leave it at that. Very, very perverse demon god. So pansexual is rather appropriately named, isn't it? Another abomination. God rested on the seventh day from his creation. He gave us rest. As workaholics, we don't take advantage of that rest all the time, although I do rest one day a week because I discovered that the Sabbath was created for me, and I'm one of those people who needs it real bad, or I would just work 24/7. We got our sexual identity from God, and God created how males and females were supposed to interact with each other. He created the definition of marriage. Satan has attacked that, both of them. We now have males becoming females and females becoming males. And we have people marrying people of the same sex. That is obviously in direct opposition to God's original design. And I don't care how much man tries to redefine it, he can't redefine it because he isn't God. God gave the original blueprint, and his blueprint stands. And anything that goes against that, I'm quite sure will be punished somewhere down the line. I think it is a very great spirit of confusion that causes those things. But I don't know. God has not told me that. That's just what I think. God himself created eternal life that we can receive through Jesus. Did you know that scientists are studying human immortality? They are trying to make a way for humans to live forever. Let me read you something. God created clothing too, by the way, in Genesis 3:21. To Adam also, and this was after the fall, to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God created the first clothing because the Shekinah glory was removed from Adam and Eve when they sinned, so they could see that they were naked. I don't even have to tell you how much clothing has been attacked, do I? Satan would love for all of us to just run around nude. So then in Genesis 3, in verse 22, it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Clearly, God is saying that would not be a good thing for us to live forever because of knowing sin. It says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way to the tree of life." Okay, so let's think about this for a minute. Why would it be a bad thing to live forever? I personally do not have any desire whatsoever to live forever down here on earth. And I don't even want to live 80 years. I'm looking for an early ticket out, and I know I'll get one. Heaven is a way better place. But let's think about human immortality. Let's say, for instance, that the mark of the beast would allow you to live forever. So what if they did something to your DNA and you were going to live forever down here on earth? Let's say you had lots of money and you had a perfect family and everything, and you wanted to stick around for gazillions of years. Okay, then let's say that a plague comes along and there's no cure for it and you get it, but you can't die. What if you get a terrible addiction and you can't stop it and you can't die? I would think that people who knew that they couldn't be killed would have a lot of thrill-seeking behavior. They would take a lot of chances. So what if they were in terrible car accidents and maybe they became quadriplegic, but they couldn't die? I think that it would become a very big source of discussion at what age was it best to take the DNA change so that you never die, because your age would freeze right there. Should you do it in your 20s or your 30s or maybe as a teenager? Evil increases with every generation. Look at the world around us. What might it be like in another 10 generations if Jesus tarries? What if you live forever, but the people that you love most don't? What if people like Hitler, Charles Manson, Osama bin Laden, and Stalin were alive forever? What if nuclear war happened and famine came and everything beautiful in the world was gone and you live forever? Clearly, God had a better plan. He knew that man living forever was a very bad idea once sin entered the picture. I think that I call them the eternity people when I'm thinking about them. People who took the eternity change to their DNA would become even more earth conscious and would practically worship the earth because they would want to preserve the earth since they were going to be here forever. And the people who were not going to be forever would just be considered throwaway people. But that's just my idea. But I think we should give it some thought since scientists are trying to find a way to do it now. They're trying to find a way to reverse aging. They're trying to find a way to stop aging. And scientists say that the human body, it really should not die. That the way it is created, it really should live forever. They're trying to find a way to make it do that. And they are working now on finding a way to upload the human consciousness, because they have even found ways for human thought to control prosthetic limbs, which means they are extremely close to being able to upload a consciousness into a computer. Now, the large powers that be nations are studying this also because they want to create robots that can fight the wars. Now, I'm in agreement with robots fighting the wars because I don't like for people to have to die in the wars. So I understand that, and it would be safer for robots to go in and defuse bombs in bomb situations, and safer for robots to do a lot of things. When bad plagues are going around or bad sicknesses, robots could do things that people couldn't do. But uploading a human consciousness to a robot, I think, is a real bad idea. Because human consciousness comes with sin. So the Lord came, and He created man, and He created woman. He gave us clothes. He gave us an end to this life, which is filled with sorrows. He gave us sexual identity, marriage, souls. That's one thing they can't clone, is a soul. He gave us our image after Him. He gave us dominion over the earth, which Satan, when he brought sin in, took for a time, but Jesus took it back. He gave us the perfect, abundant environment. He gave us fellowship with Him in the garden. He gave us a spouse. He gave us choices, free will. Addiction is an attack on your free will. Did you know that? That's what addiction is. It's Satan taking your free will. The Lord gave us Himself, and He made every single thing before He made men. And He gave us a father. If they clone humans like they're trying to do, and if they manage to upload consciousness to a human, which I believe they'll be able to do in the next 25 or 30 years, they still cannot give a soul or a spirit to that human. But it can only operate if it has a spirit in it. So there's only one other place any kind of spirit can come from, and it's not going to be a good spirit. I have a friend who sees a lot of things about the future, and he said that he keeps having these dreams about in the end times. He said it's like a zombie apocalypse, a bunch of zombies. And when I started researching this, I thought, there's the zombies right there. Revelations 9:6 says, "And in those days," this is when the wrath is being poured out, "shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." And you know, the Lord told me once that when the end comes, when the wrath falls, that the ones left behind, the ones still on earth, will be turned over to Satan alive. And I thought, how can that happen? Why will they, you know, because Satan will just kill them. Well, these aren't going to be able to die until, I guess, God says so. But that I always wondered about that scripture in Revelation. They would want to die, but they wouldn't be able to die. And now it makes perfect sense if you look at the scientific research going on now, why they might want to die. but not be able to die. I believe that the chip, the mark, will come as a result, the cashless society will come as a result of some act of terrorism or a false flag attack, that everybody will have to get chipped in order to not be considered a terrorist. But that's just my own idea. That may not be the way it comes at all. That's not anything God's spoken to me. I read somewhere, and I can't remember now where I read it, and I can't find it again, but there is this very strong magnetic force that they were using scientifically to do these experiments, and that if they took a person who had a very strong belief in God and they exposed them to this magnetic force, that they would lose like 3/4 of their belief. That's a scary thought, y'all. Could the mark not do that? You know, we use a lot of Mexican-type flavorings and jalapeno peppers to cook food in Texas. Well, jalapenos, when you cook with them, get hotter. If you don't take the seeds out, they get a whole lot hotter. But if you take the seeds out, even without the seeds, when you heat a jalapeno pepper, it gets real, it intensifies the heat that it's in it. And if you're cooking a dish and you put in too much jalapeno, there's not really any way you can fix it. You have to scrape it, trash that, destroy that, and you have to start over. In the days of Noah, that same thing happened. Too much of something bad got into man, and God had to scrape the whole thing and start over with just Noah and 7 family members. You know, God's very long-suffering with us. And he has looked down on and grieved over the sins of mankind and the increase of evil in the world for a very long time. And especially in countries like the one I live in America. A very long time and a very big increase. God deemed that women would give birth, and now we rip babies out of their wombs when they're the most helpless. And traumatize a lot of the moms when we do it. American soil is tainted with the blood of many innocent people who have died along with the innocent babies. And that blood calls out to God night and day to avenge him, to avenge their deaths. And God's much the same way with us individually. And you know, back in biblical times, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah went up, same as it did in Noah's time. And finally, when God had just had enough, that was it. He got Lot out of town, and all his son-in-laws wouldn't go with him, but Lot and his daughters went, and his wife went, and then God completely obliterated Sodom and Gomorrah. Then with Noah, he brought the flood. And, you know, John Hagee told this story years ago, and I'm going to try to tell it as accurately as I can. I wish that I could find it written somewhere so I could make sure I had every detail right, but I think he was younger. And he was in a barbershop getting his hair cut. And I believe God moved on his heart to witness to this young man that was in the barbershop. I don't know if he'd just gotten his hair cut before John or something like that, Pastor Hagee. And so he witnessed to this young man about Jesus. And I think the young man said something like, I don't need Jesus, or I don't need that, or something like that. And he went outside, got on his motorcycle, took off down the road. And I think several miles down the road, he lost control of his motorcycle, slammed into a tree, and of course died instantly. God will not strive with us forever. He will give us so many chances to repent when we need to repent, and he'll send us word, and he'll have people witness to us. Oh, and there's a young man listening to me right now, and you've had many chances to get saved, and you have not responded to the Lord, have you? I wondered why he wanted me to talk about this story tonight. This story is for you, young man. I believe your name is Mark. You need to get right with the Lord, or this is going to happen to you. Now, I'm not saying that same way, but I'm saying that he's running out of long-suffering with you because you have been given many chances, and he is showing me that you have a drug issue and that many times you have gone back on your word to do good and done some very bad things. And we have all stumbled and fallen. All of us have. And many of us have stumbled and fallen even after we've gotten saved. But God meets you where you are. He will change your life, and he will give you the peace that you are seeking in those drugs. and He will give you someone to love you and be loyal to you. The Lord said that you've had a lot of disloyalty against you in your life. That's Satan attacking you because you're opening the door to him. Mark, you need to give your life to the Lord, and you need to do it right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't go out that door, and don't take another drug. Don't take another chance. Give him your life right now. I believe you're wearing a green shirt. All you have to do is say, Lord, my life is yours. Show me what I need to do. And he'll take it from there. If you believe and you'll pray and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross and was raised from the dead for you, and you just say, take over my life, be Lord of my life, he'll do the rest. You just follow where he leads and obey, and he will give you a life that will just amaze you. It will amaze you. When God gets enough of what's going on in the world today, we're going to see some more instances of this. I don't know whether God's people will be here to see it, but this is what's coming at the end for those people who refuse to believe and continue to refuse. When he destroys it, it's going to be quick, it's going to be violent, and there's not going to be any recourse or any turning around and changing your mind at the end. It's going to just be done. And when that happens, the people who have not made Jesus the Lord of their life are going to hell, and they're going there forever. There's no exit door down there. They're going to be turned over to Satan. And then they will reap over and over and over for all eternity everything bad they have done, every pain that they have caused any other person. Satan has attacked everything God created. He has attacked our rest, our image, our sexuality, our souls. He's trying to create a man with no soul. He's trying to copy being able to offer eternal life. He's attacked our choices. He's definitely attacked marriage in God's design. The mark of the beast will be his copy of the seal of the Holy Spirit. He will have his version of everything. And if you'll notice, right after Adam and Eve were together, marriage was formed in the Bible, then Satan appeared in the garden and brought confusion and blame. He's still bringing it now. So now I want to read you some words that the Lord gave me about 2016. I released some of them on the website, but I didn't release all of what he gave me because he gave them to me at different times of the day when I would pray and ask him about what was coming. I will get these typed and posted to the website as soon as I can. I don't know that it will be today because I'm still feeling quite a bit under the weather, but I will as soon as I can so that y'all get them. Okay, I don't have names to all of them yet either. Those who refuse still to do my will be drawn further into darkness. This is by your own choice. I desire you would follow me, the light of the world. When you do not, you follow the world and the god of all that is darkness. If darkness is what you choose, I will give you over to it. You live in the time of the wise and unwise virgins, my children. The bridegroom is on his way, and the bride is either preparing or not. The door is soon to close, and those who are unprepared will be left without, outside. The bride shall enter in, and others will be shut out. This is your time. Choose wisely, for the darkness is great where there is no light. My will for you is not difficult. Do what you know to do, and I will show you the rest as you walk with me day by day. This is your reasonable service. I have offered you eternal life. Serve me with your temporary one. Obviously, that's about answering God's call in your life. God has already prepared a work for you to step into. If you don't know what it is, one of the best ways to find out is to take a spiritual gifts inventory test. The one that I used to take is apparently no longer free on the internet. I found another one that might be as good. I have not tried it yet, but you can check it out, and it is free. It's called spiritualgiftsplural.com. So that would be one to look at that you just go through and you answer the questions. It scores you, and it tells you what your giftings are. What gifts God placed in you are the key to knowing what it is He wants you to do. Okay? That's a good first step in knowing what God is calling you to do, and I recommend it for anyone who is unsure. Okay, here's the next word. In 2016, I'm going to surprise many of my people. I will surprise you with the godly mates you have asked me for. I will surprise you with promotion at your job. I will surprise you with increase, you who have not known abundance, but who have believed me and given in spite of your need. That means given in spite of your own need, being in need yourself. I will surprise you. You will have more than enough. I am working behind the scenes to surprise some who are ready for the ministries I have begun preparing you for. Unsaved loved ones will suddenly be saved. Yes, my people, change is coming in 2016, and the changes will be very good for those who have obeyed me, those who have hearkened to my words, those who have walked in my ways. For those who have not truly believed, I will give you opportunities to believe me, chances to grow your faith, to accept my words to you. 2016 shall be many faceted, and which facets you see will depend on where you are in your journey with me. Those who have much in me shall be given more. Those who have little will be given a chance to obtain more. Okay. Sorry, my writing is very scribbled on some of these. Okay, here's another one. As you speak to the mountains in your life in 2016, you will see them begin to crumble. For I shall bring down mountains of debt, mountains of slander, mountains of accusation and reproaches. There's a woman listening to this word right now. And when I said mountains of slander, you knew that was for you. It is for you, woman of God. The Lord says that there are several people around you who have been heaping up mountains of slander against you, and that to you the mountain looks way too big, that you can't tear it down. And He says, you don't have to, daughter. You don't have to tear that mountain down. You speak to that mountain that it be gone, and you command it to leave in my name, He says, and I'm going to make it dissolve like it was never there. Okay, mountains of debt, mountains of slander, mountains of accusation and reproaches, mountains of sin, when you lift up your voice in faith and speak out my word. For I am a mighty God and well able to deliver you, my children. My people shall not be ashamed. You have not believed in vain. Many of you wonder, even now, if you have believed me in vain, but you have not. Stir up your faith daily and think on who I am. I am able, though you are not, to bring it to pass. Okay, and I have one more. 2016 shall be a year of many facets. Evil arises in unlikely places. It rears its ugly head and strikes at my people. It takes innocent lives. You will also see good rise up and overcome in some areas. My bride has not purified herself enough to overcome yet on a large scale. Therefore, my power flowing through her is small at this time. But I have a plan to refine my bride, to remove the impurities of the world she has allowed to stain her. I will allow the stains to grow and make her sick until she begs me to wash her clean. In this way, I will make her white for my arrival. My people, I desire in 2016 you would walk holy before me. I desire you would put away from you that which is unclean, that which I have called an abomination. I desire you would strive for purity now according to my word, which is your standard in all things. Why do you ignore the things I have told you? Why do you allow sin in your midst when I am against it? Do you not know you will be judged for all sin? Why do you allow sin among you? Why do you continue therewith? How can I bless you when this is so? Come away from sin that I may bless you more abundantly. Show me your devotion. Dangers will increase among my people as each year passes, but you will not always abide in the world. You are mine. I desire my people would increase in diligence and prudence in 2016. You are not of the world. Why do you look and act as though you are? Those who are worldly will go as the world goes. They will follow it to destruction, for they are not abiding in me, nor seeking my face. And in the end will not know to seek me to save them. Do not dwell among them, my people. Be you set apart from them. Be you set apart from these, my children. For what fellowship has light with darkness? You cannot serve two masters, therefore you must choose. The day is coming soon when these lines will be very evident, as well as which side you truly serve. Do not be found on the side of darkness there, for there will be no remedy for those who are. It leads to eternal damnation. Father, I lift up every listener to you. I pray, Father, that you will convict every one of our hearts any place that we need conviction. I pray, Father, you will bring to light any sin that is in our lives so that we may repent of it and turn away from it, Lord. If we have sin, please show us. And I pray for each of you, the Lord Jesus, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, to whom be glory and honor forevermore. May 2016 be a year of abundance and great joy for you as you walk in him. Thanks for listening. God bless you. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the Second Coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning. Are you one of many single Christians believing for a godly mate? God is able, so why hasn't He sent them to you? Unknowingly, you may be working against God. He brought Glenda the perfect mate after 16 long, lonely years of believing. In the ebook, Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate, Glenda shares the keys God gave her. Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate by Jerry and Glenda Linkos, only $2.99 at Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com. Haven't you waited long enough? Get Keys to Believing for a Godly Mate. Amazon or wingsofprophecy.com.